Senate, please come to order. Members, please vote. Signify the presence this morning. Have all members voted that are present? Senator Moss had emergency surgery. I understand he's doing very well, and they expect to be back in a couple of days. Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 19 senators present this morning.
We stamp the invitation.
Lord, when the men and women who make up this Senate first came to legislative office, they mostly did so knowing that there would be work involved. Yet we doubt that very many of them had any idea just how much work they would face. Now, much has been done, and yet there still seems to be a mountain to be moved in a very short time. The next few days may very well be a time of intense testing of ethics, of the wisdom shown in choosing which battles to fight and which to surrender, of what each senator understands to be the meaning of the words public servant. We are grateful for the confidence that they know that the things now needed are integrity and dedication, far more than brilliance or fanaticism, that true servanthood stands far taller than brazenly wielded power. We are grateful, too, because we know your constant presence is there to guide, uphold, and strengthen these senators as it is for all of us. And because we know this, we are able to pray also that your healing presence may bring peace and rapid healing to Senator Moss. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
No objection. Secretary of the Senate, if we happen to know positively the day that we're adjourning, would you invite this particular chaplain back for that day? Appreciate your service. Does the Secretary certify the correctness of the Daily Journal?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the Journal for the 136th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement Number 89.
Senator Ray?
Move the Journal for the 136th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement Number 89 be approved and certified.
Without objection. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Are there messages from the Governor?
There are no messages from the Governor today, Mr. President.
Are there messages from the House?
Message of May 23. The House passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 286, LNC, with the following amendment. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 286, LNC, Motor Vehicle Warranties, and returned for consideration.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 286, Labor and Commerce, and ask the body to vote yes.
Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, may we just stand at ease just a moment?
We'll be at ease. Ray?
As a private sponsor of the bill in question, the amendments are such that I think that we squeezed the last drop out of this baby, and if we could just go ahead and concur in it, and at least the public will have some recourse now, and I think it is a good compromise. If not, we can fine-tune it again next year.
You have the floor, Congress Chairperson.
Mr. President, I concur with the remarks of Senator Redd. Labor and Commerce had a number of hearings.
Compromise. Question is, then, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 286? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas and one absent.
We can go home now. Senator Ray got a bill through. The bill has been adopted. Next, please proceed.
The House passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 431, Hess, Purchase of Residential Child Care Services, with the following amendment. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 431, Finance, in return for consideration.
Senator Ray.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate concur in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 431, Hess. And ask the body to vote yes.
Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 431? Is there discussion? Is there debate? Senator Sackett has a question.
Yeah. Mr. President, would somebody explain to me the changes that the House made with regard to the question of cost of living allowance, how that's taken care of in the House version?
You have the floor, Senator.
I just saw the sheet, but it appears that they deleted the provisions for cost of living allowance that the Senate made. Could we stand at ease?
We'll be at ease.
Mr. President. The
Senate will please come back to order. You have the floor, Senator.
consulting with Senator Fakes and Senator Gilman, I think that I overstated this. The Senate had a provision for cost of living adjustments which was tied to a CPI, the all-urban CPI for Anchorage, which provided for the cost of living adjustments on an annual basis, but instructed the administration to use that particular index. The House says that the department may adjust grant amounts annually using a cost of living allowance formula adopted in its regulation, which might be anything that they want to do, which they could change from time to time. The Senate bill also had a good provision which allowed for multi-year grants. These would be subject to annual appropriations, but they would be designed to allow the grantee to plan for more than 1 year. Under the House version, which deletes that section, it would appear that anyone seeking a grant would have to make an annual application, which means more work for the grantee, less ability to plan for the future, and more work for the administration in processing applications. Accordingly, I think that it might be better to go to conference on this and iron out these differences and try to preserve the Senate provision, Mr. President.
Question is, then, committee substitute Senate Bill 431, be adopted by the Senate. You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Any member wish to change their vote? Follows Senator Ray to the end. Secretary, close the roll. No one who desires to change the vote.
The roll shows 18 nays and two absent.
The House will so be informed. Will ask to be received. If they fail to receive, a conference committee will be appointed. Secretary, you may proceed.
The House passed the following and transmitted for consideration. House Joint Resolution Number 45 amended by Representatives Tischer, Barnes, Bettesworth, Bussell, Liska, and Ward relating to repeal of the federal estate tax.
Finance Committee, Judiciary Committee may wish to look at this, but I'll send directly to Finance at this stage.
Those are the messages from the House today.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
Reports to standing committees.
State Affairs considered Senate Bill Number 505, establishing the Pacific Rim Fellowship. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, and Senators Sturgiluski and Rohde signed do pass. Signing no recommendation were Senators Kelly and Ray. SB 505 has a further referral to Finance. State Affairs considered House Joint Resolution Number 66 amended, removal of World War II artifacts from the state, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, and Rohde. Senator Ray signed no recommendation. H.D.R. 66M has a further referral to Judiciary. State Affairs considered House Joint Resolution Number 77, adopting a permanent plan of operation for the Department of Administration, Division of General Services and Supply Surplus Property Program for federal surplus property, and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, Rohde, and Ray. H.D.R. 77 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
State Affairs considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 498, State Affairs, Military Retirement Benefits, and recommends be replaced with the Senate committee substitute and due pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Rohde, Strzelewski, and Ray. House Bill 498 has a further referral to Finance. State Affairs considered committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 503, State Affairs amended, Alaska Pioneers Home, and recommends be replaced with a Senate committee substitute and due pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, Rohde, and Ray. House Bill 503 has a further referral to Finance. State Affairs considered House Bill Number 506 amended, payment for purchase by the state, and recommends be replaced with the Senate committee substitute with two new fiscal notes. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, and Senator Ray signed no recommendation, signing due pass for Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, and Rohde. House Bill 506 amended has a further referral to Judiciary. State Affairs considered House Bill Number 556, complaints alleging retaliation before the State Commission for Human Rights, and recommended a majority due pass, signed Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, and Rohde. Senator Ray signed no recommendation. House Bill 556 has a further referral to Judiciary. State Affairs considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 564, State Affairs, use of permanent fund dividends to satisfy debts owed to the state, and added a fiscal note, and signed due pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, Rohde, and Ray. The committee also recommended that the letter of intent not be adopted. That must be the House letter of intent. House Bill 564 has a further referral to Finance. State Affairs considered House Bill CS for House Bill Number 609, FIN, debt of the state, its agencies, and municipalities, and recommends to be replaced with the Senate committee substitute and a majority due pass with updated fiscal notes. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring with due pass for Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, and Rohde. Senator Ray signed no recommendation. House Bill 609 has a further referral to Finance. State Affairs Committee considered CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 678, State Affairs, preservation of World War II artifacts, and recommends to be replaced with the Senate committee substitute, a new zero fiscal note, and due pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, Rohde, and Ray. House Bill 678 has a further referral to Judiciary. Finance considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 320, FIN, royalty oil contracts, and approving the sale of royalty oil by the state of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company, and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate committee substitute and a majority due pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Vic Fisher, and Josephson. Senators Sackett, Mulcahy, and Ferguson signed no recommendation. House Bill 320 has no further referral.
House Bill 320 could be brought to the calendar at this time for an up or down vote. Is that not right?
No, this is the last one I'll read, Mr. President.
Please proceed.
The Finance Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 571, FIN, venue of actions in Superior Court and the number of Superior and District Court judges, and recommends be replaced with a Senate committee substitute, new fiscal notes, and due pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sackett, Ferguson, Mulcahy, Josephson, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. House Bill 571 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee had referred to them the House committee substitute that the House returned to the Senate, to their Senate bill. and consider this bill and recommend that the House Committee substitute do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Ferguson, Mulcahy, and Vic Fisher. Senator Sackett signed no recommendation. Attached to the committee report was a letter, May 24, Mr. President. The Senate Finance Committee has considered the House amendments embodied in HCS 4SB 269, Second Finance, and the accompanying House letter of intent, and recommends that the full Senate concur in the House amendments. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, Senator Sackett, co-chairman, Senators Fakes, Vic Fisher, Mulcahy, Ferguson, and Josephson. This is...
Senator Ray.
We'll move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 269, Second Finance.
Secretary, place the bill on the calendar. Question is, you have the floor, Senator. Committees. Some please come back to order. There are not copies available, Senator A.
Well, I would just add that I would urge the body to vote yes.
Do you wish specific copies? Senator Sackett, do you wish to rise?
What is it?
Secretary of the Senate, well, I think we should hold this over till the bottom of the calendar at least.
Yeah, just get copies out for everybody.
Yes.
Just so we know what it is. It's one of the...
That is the correct position. We'll just hold it to the bottom of the calendar. Secretary of the Senate, bring that up after the calendar today.
All right.
Without objection, Senator Ray will hold his motion in advance. Secretary, please proceed. Are there other items under standing committee reports?
The Rules Committee considered the following and recommended that they be calendar May 24, Senate Resolution 11, creating a Senate Special Committee to commemorate William A. Egan's career of public service to Alaska. Senate Bill Number 385, Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, recommends the Finance Committee substitute. CSHB 345, Jude, Victims' Rights and Amending Rule 32D of the Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure, and recommends the Finance Committee substitute. CSHB 576, Resources, Grant of State Land to the City of Whittier, and recommends the Resources Committee substitute. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Ray, and Ferguson. These do appear, and Senator Bennett, these do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports today.
The copies of that bill to be taken up, the Finance Committee report to be taken up at the end of the calendar, be certain to be distributed to Sergeant of Arms or whomever we need to. Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
There was a resolution for introduction.
I don't think so.
The... takes us to the daily calendar.
Senate Bill Number 385, Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Vic Fisher, Paul Fisher, and Paul Fisher. Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends that the committee substitute Judiciary do pass. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, Pettyjohn, and Eliason. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends be replaced with committee substitute Finance and do pass. Signed, Senator Sackett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Ferguson, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. There are three committee substitutes.
Yeah, the floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the Finance Committee substitute.
No objection. Finance Committee substitute is adopted. Will the Secretary read the bill?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 385, Finance, Alaska Commission, relating an act relating to post-secondary education and providing for an effective date.
Are there amendments?
There is an amendment number one by Senator Pettyjohn on page 3, line 15, insert a new subsection to read C. I think this has been distributed.
You have the floor, Senator Pettijohn.
Mr. President, on the amendment, excuse me. I move the amendment.
You move the amendment.
I would like to request that the Secretary make a grammatical change suggested by our senior senator on the second line where it says, no person shall obtain a scholarship loan if, instead of they have, it should read, that person has. It's just a grammatical. So it reads, no person, it would read, no person shall obtain a scholarship loan if that person has failed to comply. Mr. President, this subject came up, well, first, this deals with...
Secretary, do you have that grammatical change?
Yes, I do.
Singular plural.
Mr. President, this deals with our student loan program, and this amendment would have the effect of not making the scholarship loan program available to those persons who have failed to register with the Selective Service Administration as required by federal law. The subject came up in the Judiciary Committee, where I offered an amendment which was adopted. Subsequent to that, an Assistant Attorney General told me that a similar federal requirement passed by the United States Congress had been held unconstitutional by a federal court, and based on that, and I didn't want to interfere with the progress of the bill, I agreed that we just recede from that amendment. But subsequent to then, Mr. President, I feel that I've been somewhat misinformed by the Attorney General's office in that the court action he was talking about was one federal district court judge in Minnesota who'd stated that the President and the Congress were misinformed when they required registration for federal scholarship loans, and that decision has been stayed. That ruling by that judge in Minnesota has been stayed by the United States Supreme Court, so that in effect now we are dovetailing with federal requirements that are in existence at the present time. So that's the reason I'm offering it on the floor. I'm proud to say that Alaska, I think, has the highest compliance requirement or compliance of any state in the union with the Selective Service Administration, something like on the order of 98-99%. But for the 1% or whatever it is that's see fit not to participate in this Selective Service program, I don't think that that their education should be subsidized by the people of the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I'm constrained to oppose the amendment, and I wish I could support it because I think the objectives are certainly understandable, especially to those of us who have served in the military. But, Mr. President, the testimony given to the committee was more than the question of the doubtful constitutionality. It was a question of the administrative problems that this will mean to the Commission on Post-Secondary Education. As I remember Dr. Romansberg's testimony, it was that they don't have a computerized method of separating male and female applicants, and only the male applicants would be subject to registration requirements. And I did not know this amendment was forthcoming, so I did not go back through the minutes of the committee, but he testified against this amendment on the grounds that it would be difficult to administer and involve additional costs to the Commission on Post-Secondary Education. And I think that if it is true, and I trust Senator Pettijohn on this, that we have such high compliance without this kind of sanction, 99%, I don't see the great benefit of burdening the Commission on Post-Secondary Education with another duty to deal with the small number who may not comply.
The floor, Senator.
Well, I've kind of caught between two members of my committee, Mr. President, but I too listened to the testimony, and I don't see where it would be such a hard thing for the commission to establish a procedure to say upon application you shall have a certified copy of your registration form, and that would be it. So I don't see anything really tough about it, so I think with due respect to my vice chairman, I'd have to go along with the minority member.
Is there further debate? Question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 14 yeas, 5 nays, and 1 absent.
Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
In the absence of further amendments, Senator Ray.
In the absence of further amendments, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Committee substitute, or the committee substitute for Senate Bill 385, Finance, as amended, be considered in gross advance third reading and placed final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
CS for Senate Bill number 385, Finance, amended, an act relating to post-secondary education and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debate. You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, this bill is a governor's bill. It clears up a couple of things. One is that under the existing law, as it's written, if you receive a scholarship loan or a loan through the post-secondary education program and you enter the military forces, theoretically, you don't have to repay that loan as long as you're in uniform, which could be 20 or 30 years. This bill clarifies what I'm sure was the original intent and says that you wouldn't be obligated to make the repayment during your initial hitch, which is, in an enlisted case, a four-year hitch, generally. Second thing, Mr. President, is that it clarifies the meaning of residency and what physical presence is and what the exemptions are for being out of the state when residency is taken into account. The third thing that it does is to eliminate, under the WICHE program, one course which is available in Alaska at the present time, the Petroleum Engineering program. Originally, the governor had proposed also to strike out the graduate nursing program, but the committees felt that there are elements in graduate nursing training which are not offered in Alaska, and therefore that WICHE participation should still be presented. The bill has a zero fiscal note.
Senator Ray?
There is a title change, Mr. President.
Senator Gilman?
Mr. President, a question, if I could, through the chair to the last speaker. On page 3, line 1, as part of the criteria for being away from the state, allowable criteria is participation in foreign exchange student program recognized by the commission. I wonder if the commission has listed those. I can't recall whether this is a new provision or whether this is in current law, the way the bill is written. The reason I'm raising the question, Mr. President, is that there are some student exchange programs that are not run through American Field Service or Rotary Clubs that are kind of the traditional foreign exchange programs, but they are between cities. And we have an example of that in Anchorage with their sister cities in both Norway and Japan. Seward, sister city. Homer has a sister city. All of those cities exchange students, and yet it does not go through the American Field Service program. I'm just wondering if the commission would recognize those.
Mr. President,
you have the floor, Senator.
My recollection is that was specifically mentioned in the committee, and that the commissioner said he would recognize, Dr. Rohn said he would recognize those.
You have the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President, I just have one question relative to page 2, line 20. To presence in the states for at least 1 year of the immediate preceding 5 years, under this provision, it seems to me that, as an example, a family could move into Alaska, they could put their students in high school, or children in high school, and then each summer take a trip, a vacation out of the state. And that particular time when the students are ready to graduate from high school, they apply for a student loan, And because of this particular provision, they will not be qualified. Is that my assumption correct in that?
Are there further amendments? To the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just with regard to a possible amendment, the four-year requirement on initial military service, I wonder if that's consistent with some of the programs, the highly technical programs in the military, which I thought in the past required a six-year commitment. If we're bringing that back to 4 years, it may be difficult for some of the people in medical professions, in pilot training, or in the highly technical areas that have had to make a six-year commitment to get that training through the military service to add to the training for which they've had a student loan.
The response to that possibility of an amendment? Well, of course, Senator.
I can't respond to it other than to say that there has to be some breaking point, and of course, generally, as I understand it, those people become commissioned officers in those highly qualified, the medical situation that you mentioned, after a period of time in the military. If we don't do this, unless you have a better suggestion, we're going to be unable to make collections during a possibly 20 to 30-year period.
The floor, Senator.
Mr. President, the reason I asked is I think it would probably solve most of the problem if the 4 years read 6 years and still not create a hardship. The medical personnel are fairly well paid in the military service, but there are some other technical fields that don't achieve that kind of pay scale, and they're trying to build a family at that time. It's pretty tough to pick it up if we are offsetting it for everyone else.
Are you requesting?
I would ask for an adhesive to prepare an amendment.
Yeah, brief adhesive.
Would be. Senator Helfrich, do you have an amendment proposed?
Mr. President, there is an amendment on the clerk's desk which changes the 4 to 6 years. I would move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
After we return to second reading for specific.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Secretary, read that amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Senator Hallford, page 1, line 16, change 4 to 6.
No objection to returning to second reading for specific amendment. Senator Hallford, you have the floor to move the amendment.
Mr. President, I move amendment number 2 and ask unanimous consent.
There's no objection being offered to the motion, so it has been adopted. We're back to third reading. Is there debate? You have the floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, on the question of the Senator from Sitka, the problem under the existing law, which simply says that a person may be classified as a resident if he is dependent on a parent or guardian, and if the parent or guardian has been in Alaska for 2 years, period, is that we are providing scholarship loans to the Post-Secondary Education Commission for individuals who have never set foot in Alaska. You have that situation where husband and wife live in Florida, divorce, husband comes to Alaska, pays child support, the child is a dependent, the child stays with mother in Tampa or wherever, never comes to Alaska, and in that situation, that child is eligible for a post-secondary education loan. Now, I don't know what the right solution on that is, but that was what triggered that provision, and maybe the House can do better with it. The other feature that I ought to mention is that this bill redresses a problem which has existed, particularly in Anchorage, for some time, in that a student may be enrolled at one institution, say the Anchorage Community College or Alaska Pacific University, for some of his credits or her credits, and then receive the rest of the credits from the UAA. That student historically has not been deemed a full-time student because the credit hours are split between institutions. Under this bill, those credits could be aggregated to determine that the student is full-time and thus eligible for the benefits of the program.
The House has been sitting on that amendment for 3 months. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I don't want to harangue us around much longer, but I'd just like to bring it to the attention of the body of the bill as flawed in this aspect. I think that I can bring a number of examples. We have one at my community at Sitka where we had a family moved there 4 years ago. And at that particular time, their children were going into high school. And the children went south to a religious school, and they came back every summer, and they worked, and they came home for Christmas. Their families are citizens of the community. They've been there 4 years. But these students are not eligible for loans because they happen to be out to attending a school that's not, they do not have in the state of Alaska. An example, I think Senator Josephson mentioned a divorce in the family where, under the divorce decree, the husband, as an example, could have visiting rights for maybe during the summer, 3 months. The child could be domiciled in Alaska, be going to school in Alaska, go south for 3 months to spend those 3 months in the summer months with their father or his father, come back to Alaska, go through high school, apply for a loan, and they're not eligible. These are the problems that exist with this language in the bill, and I would hope that this obviously is not the place to straighten this out, but I would hope that the House would take a close look at this and address the issue.
You're the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I believe that is addressed because under the existing law, under the proposal, the absence of the state as a full-time student, and it doesn't say college student or university student, would be a justification for being away from Alaska.
Give the floor, Mr. Chairman.
That's the problem. It doesn't get those qualifications. These students are eligible for the bonus program. They receive their checks. They're residents of the state of Alaska. The point being is that we allow, under certain circumstances, absence from the state for medical purposes or other purposes. They outline these specific reasons. But this particular provision does not provide those provisions, so it just says you have to be in the state for a total year. You can't leave the state.
Is there further debate? The question is, shall Senate Bill 385 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas and 2 absent.
Senator Ray.
Moving to ask unanimous consent to the roll call on the passage committee substitute for Senate Bill 385 with a new title as amended to be considered the roll call on effective date clause.
Not objection, so ordered. Next item data calendar is House Bill 345.
CS for House Bill number 345, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to victims' rights and amending Rule 32D2 of the Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute with a letter of intent and do pass. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Josephson, Pettyjohn, and Eliason. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute with a new fiscal note and recommended the Senate Judiciary letter of intent and do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senator Sacca, Mulcahy, Josephson, Ferguson, Fakes, and Dick Fisher.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, we have two different versions, but I would move the Judiciary and somebody could move the other one if they wish, and then we can discuss it. I would move the Judiciary Committee report.
Objections noted. The committee, there is a motion to accept the Judiciary Committee substitute. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, if this motion is defeated, I would move to then adopt the Finance Committee substitute. The basic difference is that the Finance Committee bill rolls in provisions that would be effective in the mind of the Department of Law and others to prevent profiteering by criminals of the income from the income as royalties from publications when they write autobiographies or sell film rights to their stories. Now, I think those are extremely useful provisions. In fact, in the Anchorage Times, it's on our letter today, there is a letter to the editor from a resident of Soldotna who is concerned about this and says that the legislature should be urged to close these loopholes. There is no question that loopholes exist. Now, I think that what may be on the mind of my friend, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is that the Senate should be aware that there is some dispute as to if or not the provisions are constitutional. A memorandum from Keith Levy of the Legislative Council dated May 10 suggested that these amendments to close those loopholes would not be constitutional. However, the Finance Committee explicitly considered that. We had testimony from Patrick Conhetty of the Department of Law, who expressed his opinion that Mr. Levy is in error and that a court would uphold these provisions. The argument was that it would be an invasion of First Amendment rights or free speech clauses of the First Amendment to say that profit from autobiography or film rights should be taken by the state and given to victims or applied to victims. A second argument was that the amendment in the Finance Committee could impair the obligation of the contract. As to that, Mr. President, everyone agrees that if Mr. Hansen, for example, has already signed a contract with the publisher, that perhaps this provision would impair the obligation of that contract and be unconstitutional, but it was anticipated by Mr. Conhetty, given the nature of the announcement and the time it normally takes to sign such contracts, that we would probably not have that problem. He also did not feel that it was a bill of attainder, or that it is an ex post facto law, since it does not add any criminal penalties or additional jail time after the fact. There is a similar law in the state of New York on which the Finance Committee provisions are modeled. I think that is the dispute. I believe very much in the Finance Committee version. I think the people want that loophole covered. Just to remind the Senate, under existing law, if a victim is murdered, there can be no recovery against the royalties that the offender would earn, because you have to be alive to make your claim. And there can be no recovery unless there was a conviction for that particular crime, so that in the case of Mr. Hansen, who I think pled guilty to 4 out of 13 or 15 or 17 murders, the only, even if there, those victims were alive, there would only be access to the proceeds under existing law in those 4 cases, and actually there's none. None of them would have access. The others would have no access. These amendments would close those loopholes.
Senator Ray?
Well, Mr. President, certainly my colleague makes a compelling argument, and anything that I suppose that I would say now, he kind of puts me in the posture of being the black hat, because I want not to allow these things to happen, which is certainly not true. I agree with it, but you have an argument between 2 attorneys. One of them does our work for us in the legislative affairs. The other one is a non-practicing attorney with the Department of Law. And as such, I don't know which one to believe. We have 4 or 5 complaints here or suggestions or problems as outlined by Mr. Levy. Well, now, if you have 4 or 5, perhaps one of them might be effective. Now, I'm not trying to keep the proposal that the good senator supports from being enacted. All I'm trying to do is to see that it isn't vetoed because of a defect, which would eliminate the rest of the bill, which is a victim's rights bill. And this is put in on more or less piggybacking through the Finance Committee, and I don't mind that so much, even though they did discharge my committee, and I did concur with that previous to the time that I saw what Mr. Levy had to say. It's the decision of the body, and that's where I'm putting it. If they agree to it and they want to take the chance, that's their prerogative. I certainly am in no way trying to keep the proposal to disallow this person or any person proceeds from a crime to benefit from that. It isn't like this is the last thing that's ever going to happen. And if this isn't passed at this particular time, everything is lost. The sky is going to fall in, and we're never going to have an opportunity to pass the other bill. A clear bill and a clean bill that wouldn't have any problems to it.
Senator Joseph, that's Senator Alford.
As far as veto is concerned, I think that the governor will take his advice from the non-practicing lawyers in the Department of Law before the non-practicing lawyers in the Legislative Affairs Agency. So I think we can We don't have to worry about a veto. This is on the advice of the Department of Law. The Senate will remember that I first raised this and said I would ask for advice from the Attorney General. I got that advice, and I'm following that advice, and the committee is following that advice. So I hope that we will adopt the Finance Committee version. As far as this being the last chance, the senator said that he was going to be introducing his sine die resolution tomorrow. So I think this might be the last chance indeed.
The floor, Senator Halford.
So the motion before us then is to adopt the Judiciary CS. We would have
that
to defeat
correct.
That motion and then vote for the adoption of the Finance CS to retain the language prohibiting basically a profit from a crime and allocating that profit to the victims of the crime.
Yes, that option is before us if this motion failed. Question is, shall the Judiciary Committee, shall that amendment be adopted, that substitute be adopted? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 6 nays, 12 yeas.
The amendment failed dramatically. Are there further amendments proposed, substitutes proposed?
There is a Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Joseph.
I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the Finance Committee substitute.
Is there objection? It's adopted. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill number 345, financed by the Finance Committee. An act relating to victims' rights and amending Rule 32D2 of the Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure.
Are there amendments?
There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Ray, page 4, lines 11 through 17. Delete and insert a new Section D.
Everyone has a copy. Lines 11 to 17.
I would move the amendment, asking unanimous consent.
There is objection. You have the floor, Senator
Gilman. Mr. President, I'm not objecting to the content of the amendment, but it doesn't. If the amendment is to lines 11 through 17, we'd be reinserting D. Then we're going to have on line 18 a D2. Is that correct? So we'd have two definitions, an offender and a victim definition, and the rest of it is out.
Yes.
The D should be E, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
They have a typo. Secretary of the Senate can do that.
They have a typo, I'm sorry. Where it says D should be E, if you're ruled, and you'll see the language will follow that, I can share something.
Starting on line 14.
Well, Mr. President, that's my question. Are we actually taking out that section where it says, for the purpose of this section, if the offender has been convicted, proof of commission of the crime must be established? Are we taking that out? We are taking that out. As well as E1 on 14 through 17.
Yes.
And that, so the it will become a D1, D2 construction.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President.
This language is upon the advice of counsel.
Yes. Yes, floor, Senator.
Mr. President, just so we can be clear, this is on the advice of counsel I take to mean Mr. Levy. Okay. And his view is that it is likely to be unconstitutional to say that you can have a claim by a victim for restitution in a civil action against an offender unless there has been a conviction of the offender for the crime against that victim. And that is the situation presented by the Hansen case. With the language that we have proposed before us adopted, if the Ray Amendment is adopted, then, and if Mr. Hansen has not yet signed his contract, and he does sign a contract, then you would have a situation where the four families of the four victims as to whom he has acknowledged his guilt, could make a claim. The other 9 or 11 or 13 or whatever the number is could not make a claim because their relative, although the prosecution believes that a reasonable claim could be made that that relative was murdered by Mr. Hansen, was not a case as to which he acknowledged his guilt, nor has any prosecution been brought, because I suppose the prosecution would be redundant. So that is the problem, and I think that is the choice. There could be a constitutional question, I suppose, although again the Department of Law feels that this bill, as the Finance Committee wrote it, is defensible. But we would be creating two classes of situations here, and I suppose in a multiple murder case, it would be the luck of the draw as to whether or not case 1 or 11 or 9 happened to be the case that was prosecuted by the prosecutor. If your relative was in that category, then you could go ahead and make your claim. But if in the luck of the draw they decided not to bring your cousin's or sister's or daughter's claim, you could not make a claim. And that is the difference. And I think we were better off with the Finance Committee language for that reason.
You have the floor, Senator.
I think just beyond that, you couldn't even bring the claim if, in fact, the book or the thing that was published described that claim and that victim. You still couldn't bring the claim because there hadn't been any prosecution.
Mr. President, I appreciate that. That is absolutely right. If Mr. Hansen's autobiography says that I slaughtered Mary Lou Jones on February 1st, 1983, but is not prosecuted and convicted for it, the relatives of Mary Lou Jones could make no recovery.
You have the floor, Senator.
I just put in the amendment upon the advice of the council, the non-practicing council that I have, and we'll see what happens with it. It's voted down, it's voted down. I can't do no more than do what my lawyer tells me.
Senator, we'll be at ease, Senator. Senate, please come to order. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, upon advice of some of the lay members, I would withdraw the amendment.
Amendment's withdrawn. We are in second reading. Senator Ray, do you wish to move us?
I would move and ask unanimous consent the Senate Committee Substitute Committee Substitute for House Bill 345 Finance be considered the advanced third reading and place the final passage.
There's no objection. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill Number 345 Finance, an act relating to victims' rights and amending Rule 32D2 of the Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure.
Senator Ray.
I would just like to state for the record that if this bill is vetoed, I will have no hard feelings toward my colleague. He's done the best he could, and his zeal and utmost courage in trying to pass this bill, he's trying to do something right. Even though he would do something wrong, I will not criticize him.
Senator Gilman.
Pardon, Mr. President.
You have the floor.
Two-thirds vote.
Yes. 15. Do you have the floor, Senator?
Mr. President, I thank you, I think, to Senator Ray. Mr. President, I will be glad, I think a reconsideration notice may be given on this, to again check with the Attorney General himself and review the provisions of page 4 with him and then advise the Senate tomorrow. I did report what an Assistant Attorney General said, and a few of my colleagues want to go to his boss and make sure that that is the official position of the Department of Law, and I will do that.
Yes, we can. The bill is before us. Do you wish to move the letter of intent preceding the adoption of the bill?
After the adoption of the bill.
The previous.
I would move the letter of intent.
Yeah, without objection. Next, Secretary, you may poll the Senate. Senator's ready to vote. Question is, shall Senate House Bill 345 amendment be adopted? Have all members voted? Does any member desire to change their vote? Have all members voted this morning? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 17 yeas and 3 absent.
Bill, it has been adopted. Next item, date of calendar is House Bill 576. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 576 Resources by the Resources Committee, an act relating to a grant of state land to the city of Whittier. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute with a letter of intent. Senator Fahrenkamp and Senators Paul Fisher and Sturgiluski signed due pass, signing no recommendation were Senators Mulcahy, Vic Fisher, and Eliason. Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends the Resources Senate Committee substitute be adopted and the Senate Resources letter of intent be adopted and due pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Ferguson, Fakes, and Sackett. There is a Resources Committee substitute.
Yeah, the floor is Resources Chairperson.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee substitute be adopted.
Without objection, Secretary Reed, the substitute. Title.
Senate CS for House Bill number 576 Resources by the Resources Committee, an act relating to a grant of state land to the city of Whittier.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Ray.
There are no amendments, Mr. President. I would move the Senate Committee substitute to this substitute for House Bill 576 Resources be advanced third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for House Bill number 576 Resources, an act relating to a grant of state land to the city of Whittier.
You have the floor, Resource Chairperson.
Mr. President, this bill would grant 600 acres of state land to the city of Whittier for sale to the public. Whittier has an extremely limited land base, as all of you know, and the lands of the city core have been developed or are in the hands of the state Alaska Railroad, the U.S. Army, or the state. Whittier received no entitlement to the state when we gave out municipal lands of 10%. There was no land at that time for Whittier to receive. Now we do have the land. The Attorney General's office testified that the constitutional prohibition against local and special legislation does not apply in this bill because of Whittier's unique situation. We recommend passage of the bill.
Question is, shall House Bill 576, you floor, Senator.
Excuse me, sir, should we move the letter of intent first?
Either case, please move the letter of intent.
I move the letter of intent, ask unanimous consent.
No objection. Question before you is, shall House Bill 576, shall it be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed, Lord. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas and one absent.
The bill has been adopted. Next item on daily calendar, second reading, House Bill 188.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 188, Finance Amended, Big Game Hunting by Non-Residents, held from May 23. Since second reading, the amendment failed, and there are no other amendments.
The absence of other amendments, Senator Ray.
I would move committee substitute for House Bill 188, Finance Amendment, be advanced third reading and place final passage.
No objection. Secretary, read the bill on third reading.
CS for House Bill number 188, Finance Amended, an act relating to big game hunting by non-residents.
Bill is before you. Discussion, debate, it was before us yesterday. Question is, shall House Bill 188 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 2 nays, 1 absent.
Bill has been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar in third reading, Attorney General's notation was going to be brought, and it is here. Secretary Reed, Senate Bill 298.
CS for Senate Bill Number 298, Finance, an Act making a continuing appropriation of repayments of the principal and interest on loans made by the Alaska Agricultural Action Council for land clearing to the land clearing account in the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund, reappropriating money appropriated to the Alaska Agricultural Action Council for land clearing and providing for an effective date.
Ready for discussion. You have the floor.
Mr. President, yesterday there was a question concerning the constitutionality of this bill. You'll notice in on your desk that we have from the Attorney General's office, from legal counsel, the opinion that states that it is not unconstitutional under the dedicated funds provision of the state constitution.
Rules, Chairman.
May we have an at ease, sir?
We'll be at ease. Welcome back to order. Rules, Chairperson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, last year in Senate Finance, when we had a bill, we made a revolving loan fund out of HFC in Alaska and the CNRA home loan programs that are there. We were not allowed, by an opinion from the Assistant Attorney General Rubini, we believe, not allowed to roll the interest into that dedicated fund or revolving loan. And this bill rolls that interest in, and we have an attorney. We have an attorney's opinion from our attorney saying that that's okay. Well, I'm confused. Now we've got a double standard going. Department of Law says you can't roll interest in. Our attorney says you can roll. You can put the interest in. And I'm confused and would like a clarification.
Without objection, I'd like to have this bill held one day and ask the rules chairperson to get the.
Mr. President.
Yep, for Senator.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent that. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 298, Finance, be referred to the Judiciary Committee to have a good look at the problems with the relating to repayments of interest.
No objection. So ordered. It will go to Judiciary with those answers before it comes back. Next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 334. Secretary Reed, Senate Bill 334. Third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 334, Finance, an Act relating to health resources development and providing for an effective date in third reading.
Is there debate? Senator Ray?
Well, Mr. President, I've looked this bill over from top to bottom, and I can't see of any advantage to the state. I really can't for the money. It just seems like we're adding two or three people, and the commissioner has to okay everything that's done by this group anyway. So why bother about them? Why not just let the commissioner do it?
Mr. President.
Yes, I'd move and ask unanimous consent. We return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment. Ask unanimous consent.
The amendment, I think, has been distributed. There's no objection. We went to second reading. You have the floor, Senator.
Fine. Mr. President, I would move the amendment that has been distributed, page 1, line 12, to delete or more. Mr. President, just very briefly, this bill apparently is putting into state statute the existing health service areas that exist, but by allowing for or more, I think it adds some confusion. There's a possibility that the Commissioner of Health and Social Services could go ahead and set up a whole series of these without legislative oversight. And so by limiting it to three, although I see other problems with the bill, at least this would send the word that we want those particular existing agencies to be continued and not a proliferation of them. Ask unanimous consent.
It went to third reading. The motion has been adopted. The amendment. There has been no objection. It is so ordered. We're back in third reading. Resources, Chairperson.
May we have a brief at ease?
We'll be at ease. Back to order. Senator Josephson will be recognized.
Yes, Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 334 be held for one legislative day.
It will be held. The next item on the calendar is Senate Resolution 11. Secretary Reed, Senate Resolution 11.
Senate Resolution Number 11 by the State Affairs Committee creating a Senate Special Committee to commemorate William A. Egan's career of public service to Alaska. The Finance Committee considered this resolution and recommends due pass with a fiscal note. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Sackett, Josephson, Mulcahy, and Vic Fisher.
Senate Resolution 11 is before you for discussion, for debate. Are you ready for the question? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Bill has been adopted.
Roll shows 19 yeas.
Senator Ray?
Again, I replace my motion that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 269, the sale of royalty oil, but still the last of the Chevron.
Senator Sackett? Bill is on the board.
Excuse me. Trying to find it. Hold it a second.
While we're waiting for Senator Sackett.
Aye.
May I interrupt you if you're still looking for some data?
Yes.
We recognize Senator Ziegler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to refrain from voting on the matter before us because of a conflict of interest.
Object.
Thank you.
Mr. You have the floor, Senator.
In requesting concurrence on this, there are a number of changes from last year's version that the body should know. The two major changes that were made as a result of renegotiations was the two-year price reopener and stronger local hire provision. With regard to price, the price is in value plus 30 cents. The volume is 9.6% of Prudhoe Bay royalty presently, which is 18,000 barrels of oil per day. All oil must be processed in-state at the Nikiski refinery, and the term of the contract is till January 1, 1995. The price reopener option is for either party every 2 years. Downward adjustments in price must be approved by the legislature. Price increases would take effect without legislative approval, i.e. without delay. A much stronger local hire provision was added. The previous contract provision was clearly constitutional. Present provision is a little riskier but stronger. Contract provides that if the present provision is found to be illegal, then Chevron must follow local hire to the extent that that local hire is constitutional. Those are the major differences and provisions of the contract.
You have the floor, Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I support the Chevron contract. Only after finding I couldn't change the contract to lower the cost of fuel to Northwest Alaska. In other words, it is not Chevron's fault that the fuel prices in Northwest Alaska are out of line. The Chevron distributor, which is a subsidiary of Crawley Maritime, is charging exorbitant delivery rates for fuel to Northwest Alaska, especially to the smaller villages which are isolated. The distributor sometimes lowers the rate for larger towns like Kotzebue and Nome, but will pass on the loss in revenues to the smaller villages. Crawley Maritime not only has a monopoly on fuel delivery to Northwest Alaska, but it has a bad habit of charging an inflated delivery rate to consumers who have no other alternative. Thank you.
Question before us is, shall Senate Bill 269, its amendment, shall be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 19 yeas, 1 absent.
Bill has been adopted. Senator Ray.
Moving and asking unanimous consent that the roll call the passage of the House Committee substitute Senate Bill 269, Second Finance, be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been adopted. There's
also a letter of intent.
Motion is to adopt the letter of intent. Unanimous consent. No objection. Letter 10 is adopted. Well, Ray Plummer will. He's browned up a little again.
That's the same.
The next item, unfinished business. There are citations with apologies. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
A citation honoring the Anchorage Times and staff. I believe this is a Senate version. A citation honoring Cape Fox dancers by Senators Ziegler and Ferguson and Representative Sun and Wente. In memoriam, Trooper Troy Duncan by Senators Bennett and Fahrenkamp and Moss, Rody and Hofford.
You have the floor, Senator.
I thought perhaps on the Troy Duncan might all of the members of the Senate.
Yes. No objection. Sorry.
We'll be
at ease. You on citation calendar, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, just one question. The citation honoring the Anchorage Times and staff, is that by all members of the Senate? Except Senator Ray?
You have the floor, Senator.
I wish to bring up my reconsideration on Senate Bill 406.
The adoption has been moved and the citations are adopted. You have the floor, Senator. You wish to?
Yes. I wish to bring up my reconsideration on Senate Bill 406.
Senate Bill 406, reconsideration, brings it before us. The Secretary read Senate Bill 406.
CS for Senate Bill number 406, Judiciary, an act relating to discriminatory conduct, on third reading, on reconsideration.
Yes, the bill is before you for discussion and debate. Questions called for? Senator Ziegler has the floor.
Very briefly, Mr. President, I take generally great pride in the craftsmanship and the workmanship of this body. But this bill, and believe me, I know it's going to pass on reconsideration, is an abomination, really. And it's probably a necessary one at that. And I have been told that Senator Josephson has been scurrying around getting some swing votes. And I want to assure you, hasn't come anywhere near me. I know that people disagree with my assertion that existing law is adequate, and perhaps I could stand to be corrected on that. But I believe the bill acknowledges the validity of that allegation, because on lines 23 and 25, it clearly states that there are other legal remedies. Let me give you the worst case scenario with this bill. My 17-year-old son comes in and sits down at the dinner table one night, and he says, a bunch of Asians moved in next door, and I sure hate Asians. Now, I suppose unless I chain him, or do something, I'm going to be at least negligent if I don't try to deter that type of conduct. So I say to him, you shouldn't be bigoted, son. And immediately after he leaves the dining room table, he goes over next door, shouts, I hate Asians, and kicks over the mailbox of the new family. I am liable not only for whatever actual damages he did, but for punitive damages. The bill is too far-reaching. I think it's totally unnecessary. And if there's anything I can do about it once it gets to the House, believe me, I'm going to do it.
Well, Mr. President, with due respect to my colleague, I don't think this is an abomination. And I don't take exception to it. I think that the words were chosen, ill-chosen. And I think that upon reflection, that my colleague would seek some other means of identifying the bill other than an abomination. Certainly, I know the gentleman, and I know his character, and I know that he doesn't possibly mean what he's saying. As far as the example he brought up, I could bring up a what if you got hit by a car, or what if the sky fell in, what if. I think that the people, certainly we have courts and we have district attorneys, and we certainly have the legal profession, and if there is a case in point, I'm sure they'll bring it up. If there isn't, then it won't come.
Senator Josephson, then Senator Ziegler.
Mr. President, the worst case scenario is not that. I mean, suppose you have another parent who doesn't like Irish people. And at the supper table, Junior says, I don't like the Pettyjohns or the Kellys who are our neighbors, and I want to go and burn a shillelagh on their lawn or paint a shamrock on their door. And the parent says, that's right, I don't like Irish people either, go for it. And that happens. And then you have a situation where Junior's offenses against the Irish get more and more extreme. And parent, knowing that that is going on, takes no action until finally, in a softball game where Senator Kelly is playing, Junior slugs Senator Kelly over the head with a baseball bat, causing permanent damage. Now, in that situation, or perhaps permanent benefit, I don't know. In that situation, and that's the situation that we're trying to get at, should the parent be absolved of responsibility, or should we have as the right in those kinds of cases to say, wait a minute, Junior was led on, educated, and corrupted as to his hatred for Irish people. I think that Senator Kelly in that situation ought to have a remedy and let a jury decide, and that's what we're really dealing with here.
President?
Senator Ziegler has the floor.
I could tell you some more about this bill, but if I tried to, I'd be impugning the senator's motivations, and I can't do that. I do apologize for the use of the word abomination. Senator Reyes, correct. This bill is just like Lumpo soap. It doesn't float. It doesn't cleanse. It doesn't make any suds. It's just company in the tub.
Senator Kelly, on behalf of the Irish.
Mr. President, it just seems to me that if I get hit by somebody over the head with a baseball bat, that I've got other forms of redress outside of the fact that I'm an Irishman and doesn't like Irishmen.
The question before us is, shall the bill be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed, Paul. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 12 yeas, 7 nays, 2 absent.
The bill has been adopted.
1 absent.
Are there items under unfinished business? Are there announcements of committee meetings? Right.
It's my intent, because of the bill assignment, if possible, the Judiciary Committee will meet today at 1:30. Hopefully we have one or two bills that we can take up, unless we have a conflict. Do we have a conflict? I'm sorry.
We do have a 3-4 session scheduled.
So perhaps we could meet from 1 to 2, and you could meet from 2 to 3, if you have to take care of your business.
President,
Senator Lassen, you must respond.
We have a teleconferencing coming at 1:30. So, right.
Senator Ziegler.
Mr. President, this may be out of order, but I'm sure you'll forgive me, sir. It's my understanding that sometime today there will be a leadership caucus. And I speak for many others in this body as well as myself. I'd like to know if there is a game plan, what it is. And mind you, I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm not complaining, but we're striving toward adjournment. And this is a Memorial Day weekend, and a great many of us like to get some kind of an idea whether we're going to be working all day Saturday and up to 7 o'clock on Saturday night, whether we're going in on Sunday, whether we're going in on Monday if we haven't adjourned. And also what the plan is for tomorrow. We're going to have split shifts with the supplemental calendar. And so I would urge the majority, when they do meet, to come back and let us have some kind of a schedule that we can build our weekend around. I don't think that's unreasonable.
No, Senator Ziegler, as we discussed, we'll have a caucus today. It's our expectation to continue on, obviously with tomorrow, Saturday, but we will inform you at 4 o'clock today or before. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, if we can revert for a moment to unfinished business.
Yes, sir.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Referral on Committee substitute for Senate Bill 520 an act relating to the establishment of a state mental health rehab center be waived. Also,
No objection.
We can advance now to an announcement of committee meetings.
We are to the announcement of committee meetings.
This afternoon, the conference committee on the budget, which was scheduled for 1:30, has been canceled. However, the finance committee will continue this afternoon at 1:30 with the bills that were previously up to bat. Also, I'd like to announce that tomorrow morning, the finance committee will meet at 8:30, taking up House Bill 198 relating to membership of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Also, Senate Bill 409, making miscellaneous supplemental appropriations and transfers. Also, House Bill 684, making a special appropriation to Alaska Power Authority. Also, committee substitute for House Bill 685, relating to the Alaska Resources Corporation. Also, HCR 56, relating to appropriations for program receipts.
Resources, Chairperson.
Mr. President, in absence of the resource of the Transportation Committee Chairman, we'll be calling a Transportation Committee meeting this afternoon at 1:30. It'll be a very brief meeting taking up House Bill 399, an act naming A and C streets of Anchorage to Wickersham Boulevard and Eisenhower Boulevard.
Commerce Chairperson.
President, Labor and Commerce will meet in Bell's Room at 1:30, taking up House Bill 705, an act relating to the Real Estate Surety Fund, House Bill 716, an act relating to the Board of Pharmacy, and House Bill 720, an act relating to minimum electrical standards.
Are there items under special orders? Senator A, could we recess? You have the floor, Senator.
Can we stand here?
Yes. Order. Senate, please come back to order. Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I wish to announce a leadership caucus on adjournment. And if we can do it this way, following the leadership caucus, which should be very brief, an Anchorage caucus.
Senator Ray. Adjourn till 3, recess till 3 p.m.
Be a Southeast caucus.
The case will also meet shortly after 12.
Senator Sackett.
And I've got a meeting upstairs at 12.
Senator A.
Well, I move we recess to call the chair approximately 3 p.m.